This is the OTB Television Network, a service of Capital District Off-Track Betting.
Broadcasting live from the Capital OTB studios, this is Racing Across America with Seth Merrow.
Good morning and welcome to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. I'm Seth Merrow. Thanks for joining us. Thanks also to our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. Kind of a lull in the stakes action this week. No real preps on the Derby trail. Tomorrow, Sunland has the Mind That Bird Derby, but otherwise, kind of a lull. So this week, we're going to maybe concentrate a little bit on the first NTRA poll that came out. We have one of the voters with us a little bit later on. The TRF, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, has a couple of local events coming up on Thursday. So our friend Kim Weir will join us in the next half hour and just kind of alert you to a couple events coming up a little bit later this week up in Saratoga for the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. But as I say, top of the show, again, with a slow week stakes-wise. I thought with the first NTRA poll coming out, we would concentrate polls, actually, the three-year-old poll and the general thoroughbred poll. We talked with one of the voters, our friend Bob Ehalt, senior writer for Bloodhorse and contributor to America's Best Racing. And he also had a couple of articles recently in the Bloodhorse that I thought we'd touch on. Bob, good morning.
Good morning, Seth.
And as I say, not much stakes action this week, but again, I said you had a couple articles in the blood horse that we touch on, and I thought we'd start right out with one of those because it is a focus on the Derby trail. You wrote about the second division of the Risen Star last week, and between the two divisions, that was kind of the weaker division, so I'd love your take on that. Mr. Monomoy came out of the first division with a 92 buyer, and he had already, I mean, A, just with the breeding, this was a horse that you were going to pay attention to, but he had already kind of ding-donged a little bit and put a little bit on his resume. The horse that ran second in that first division, Enforceable, I think already has a resume, and a lot of people that thought that second last week was pretty good. I think the second division, though, has a little more of a question mark around it. Modernist Wins came out of a maiden breaker up at Aqueduct in his previous start, which was his third career start. So the Risen Star, his fourth start, it's Bill Mott. He gets an 84 buyer. We're going to watch the stretch run here, Bob. Modernist is going to be the number one horse. Major Fed runs second. New York Traffic runs third. The disappointment was N.O. Diora, the even money favorite who ran ninth in the field of 11. But give us your thoughts on Modernist. As I say, this was the division that had some more question marks. Your thoughts on Modernist coming out of the Risen Star.
Yeah, I think, like you said, the first division really wound up with the name horses. Those are the horses who had run in the Le Comp and had shown some pretty good form and already had some Derby points. This was kind of, I thought, the neophyte division of horses who were kind of really getting their acid test to see if they should stay on the trail. Modernist, I thought, looked, you know, turned in a really good effort. He seems to have, when put out the two turns by Bill Mott, he showed the speed that he kind of honed through the sprint. And, you know, again, with a front runner, you always get a little skeptical. Are they going to be able to stretch it out over a mile and a quarter? And that's one of the questions. And what happened in this race is, unlike, I think, the first division, where kind of the horses you expected to be there were there, in this one, the big favorite, Anais Dior didn't fire. One of the other horses I kind of liked in the race, Liam's Lucky Charm, broke through the gate, and definitely I think everybody who goes to the racetrack a lot knows that's a kiss of death right there. So he didn't fire either. So I think that one you're a little bit more skeptical about the results. What I will say, though, is he's trained by Bill Mott, and, you know, it's really funny if you go back 3 or 4 years when people were handing out their prize yearling to your young two-year-olds, you know, Bill Mott was considered, well, give him the grass fillies. Well, now Bill Mott's as good with the two-year-olds and three-year-olds as anybody else, which certainly should be no surprise because he's certainly one of the best trainers to ever compete in the game.
And it sounds from the quotes in the article like Mott will go back to Fairgrounds for the Louisiana Derby.
Yeah, I think, you know, that makes sense. One of the interesting things for this year is that the Louisiana Derby's been changed to a mile and 3:16.
Yeah.
So you get an even better indication of how he's going to be able to stretch his feet out. So, you know, that route worked really well for Bill with the Country House last year, and he's following it. And one of the good parts with that, as shown what happened with Country House last year, if something goes wrong, which in this case, it looks like he should have enough points. But say something goes wrong, when you run in the Louisiana Derby, you do have the possibility of trying to come back in the Arkansas Derby and make a last-ditch effort to get to the points you might need to get off the bubble.
Yeah, he is definitely very interesting. The win down in Louisiana, but B, being trained by Bill Mott. And I read also a quote after the race. He said something like, I'd like to win a Derby, Kentucky Derby. I'd like to win a Derby with my horse coming under the finish line first.
Yes. That's exactly it. You know, that's the thing. You know, we'll see about this one. As I say, this is when things, I think when you look at it, the two-year-old form is not really showcasing, especially out of the juvenile. So, I mean, the horses that were there, you know, the horses that ran in the juvenile, you're not hearing a lot about them right now. So it's sort of like a new group of shooters are coming into play, and we're going to have to see how they all sort out.
Yeah, he'll be interesting, Mr. Monomoy in the first division. The first division is the one that I think pulls in a little more buzz, but it'll be interesting to see what Modernist can do. Also, article in Blood Horse. Well, first, you had a little sidebar article on Parks horses, and I want to touch on that. But before we do that, it was a sidebar to a story in the print edition on Spun to Run. So before we get to Parks horses in particular, just give us a little overview of the Spun to Run article.
Yeah, it was kind of a feature on the team behind him, on Robert Donaldson and the trainer Juan Carlos Guerrero. Here's a couple of people who are having the horse of a lifetime, and what can happen. Whereas everything looked great for that horse to be a major player in the Pegasus, and then he came down with this believed to be allergic reaction. That gave him a case of hives that knocked him out of the Pegasus. So they kind of went from the high of winning the Breeders' Cup Dirt Mile in a really great effort, then running a really good showing against Max Security in the Star Mile, and then all of a sudden he's scratched out of the Pegasus, where, as it turned out, without Omaha Beat, he probably would have been maybe the favorite in the race. And, you know, who knows how well he would have ran. I'm not sure if he would have beat Mucho Gusto the way he ran, but still, you know, kind of the horse of a lifetime for those people.
And they're based at Parks, and as I say, there was a sidebar story in the online edition. And I wanted to touch on that because I said to you before we went on the air, this is something I've been talking about probably a month or so. The winter season at Aqueduct, you don't normally look for Parks shippers, but boy, they've been doing very well. And we're going to take a look at a stakes win from a horse that had a couple of races at Parks just prior. It's a Linda Rice trainee, but she had gone down and raced Max Player down at Parks a couple of times before winning the Withers. This is Max Player, the stretch run, number three, winning the Withers with the Withers off of those Parks races. And the same day down in Florida, the horse that won the Swale, Mischievous Alex, also a Parks runner for John Service. So a couple of stakes winners from Parks back on February 1st, different parts of the country. But as your sidebar article states, you got to pay attention to the Parks horses now. They're moving it. You know, Spun to Run made the name out in the Breeders' Cup, but they're moving around all winter long and proving to be winners, where they go, and so on a handicapping angle, you got to pay attention to the Parks runners.
Yeah, I think you do. I mean, certainly, look, the key is they have some very, very competitive purses, and competitive purses bring out better outfits. Better outfits bring better horses, and certainly more and more of them are showing up at Parks to use it for training and certainly moving forward. I mean, I think the key part for Parks is going to be their stakes schedule is still a little bit light, which is why you see these kind of horses from Parks going all over. There isn't really a Kentucky Derby prep at Parks or anything like that. And, you know, I think they're starting to address that. I heard in their stakes schedule they're going to try to create some kind of new races, especially in the fall. They did add a mile dirt race, which is two turns, which is in some cases a better prep for the Breeders' Cup at a certain, you know, when it's at a racetrack that is not, say, Belmont, where it's a or Aqueduct, where it's a one-turn mile. So, I think certainly the horses that come up from Parks, you've got to respect. It is it's becoming a circuit that, let's just say, too, it's not on a par yet with Belmont, but they do have a few of the outfits out there who could ship horses and be very competitive.
Yeah, and I'm going to be interested to see handle-wise what happens because a couple months ago they announced they were going to change their takeout. That had been one of the bugaboos for a lot of players. The takeout at Parks was a little bit higher than other venues, and they've kind of come in line with others, and I wonder if that'll help their handle, which will then in turn allow them to juice up some more purses, perhaps.
Well, one of the key things, I mean, I got to say, one of the, you know, Parks, they're not much, it's kind of hard to get the word sometimes out of Parks, but they're not one to, you know, slap themselves on the back, but last year, their handle was up 9%, which is kind of when you look at the national handle being up maybe 1.92%. So up 9%. Last year, they had a pretty good year. If they move forward off that, it's certainly, I think, a sign of good things for them to come. And certainly, as I say, when we talk about stakes, the way that the Pennsylvania Derby and the Cotillion have become staples for the best three-year-olds, it's certainly a sign that they're moving things in the right direction.
Yeah, Pennsylvania Derby Day and the Cotillion, certainly notable races on the racing calendar nationally, so they made a name there for sure. All right, let's shift attention, Bob. As I say, the first NTRA polls came out this week, and as you are a voter, I thought we'd reach out to you and talk a little bit about the polls overall. And I looked, there's a three-year-old poll, and there is also a general thoroughbred poll. On top of the three-year-old poll, no surprise, Tis the Law. On top of the general poll, Mucho Gusto. But I wanted to talk about a horse on your ballot, which did not make the top 10 on the three-year-old side, wound up number 15, but it gives us a chance to talk about this horse and watch his debut. I'll get your thoughts. We're going to go back last weekend to Santa Anita. It's going to be Charlatan. Charlatan is going to be the number 6 horse here. A Bob Baffert trainee. This is the career debut. A career debut 105 buyer. So this horse had a lot of buzz in being out of the Baffert barn. Some comparisons maybe to justify. It's going to be very interesting to see. But as I say, on your ballot, you put him in the top 10 already. At number 10, but you made him a top 10 off of this. What were your thoughts on the debut performance from Charlatan?
Well, I mean, that was just super impressive. And I will say, I think there were good things expected from this horse. I don't think they expected that. That was one of the performances where afterwards, yes, there was talk that, you know, yeah, that's what Justify did, because in the reality of the situation, it was very similar to the type of time Justify did. I think they were expecting a good effort. He really impressed them. And certainly a couple of years ago before Justify, you might have wondered, well, I don't know if this one's going to win the Derby. He's starting a little too late. We got the Curse of Apollo. But once Bob Baffert already handled that with Justify, there's certainly no reason why he can't do it again with this horse. This does not look like right now a very very good crop of three-year-olds. We're going to see. There's no one out there who really, I think, scares you right now. And that was, I think, the same kind of case with 2018. And, you know, we're going to see if the same thing materialized with Gallaudet. But certainly he has a great starting point. Now, keep in mind, the key question is, what happens with a lot of horses is they have what they call a knockout number, a number where they get to and they never get back to it. You have to see, is Charlatan going to make that progression? Probably next time he may not run as fast. I would doubt he's going to match that pace performance where everything turns up. But then it's going to be a question in that third, fourth, fifth race, is he going to get back and surpass what he did at the pace?
Yeah, that was 6 furlongs. The final time, 108.85. Fractions, 21 and change, 44 and change, 56 and change. And as I say, a 105 buyer. But yeah, the two-turn test and whatnot. And we were talking about this horse earlier on the handicapping show. And I said to our colleague, Brian Addo, as you alluded to, it's February. The horse has just debuted. And I think normally we would kind of, let's look for this horse in the Traverse or whatever. But it's Bob Baffert, and people are pointing to Justify. And so I think just because Baffert and the kind of the magic he has done on the Triple Crown Trail over the past decade, this horse becomes an absolute contender.
Yeah, but without question. I think Bob Baffert right now, he has four major players for the Kentucky Derby, and when you look at Bob's past performances, you have to respect him. That he knows how to get these horses ready for big races, and I think it's going to be interesting. The interesting part is going to be seeing where everybody winds up, because especially in the case of a horse like Charlatan, if he doesn't throw him right back into stakes, the question will be, you come down to that last prep needing a really big effort, and you can't have, if you have several of your horses in that position, you can't have them in the same ring. So it's going to be interesting to see where these horses all kind of wind up, because as I say, right now, we've got at least four of them, and with Bob, who knows, he may have another one come out. So, but I say right now, this would be his hand, and as I say, the same people, I have a pretty good-looking horse in Authentic, who was number two in my poll.
Yeah, and let me, just before you get into that, let me pull up the Sham, because I was going to talk about that horse. As I say, your poll, you have Tis the Law on top, but Authentic underneath. Another horse that maybe people aren't necessarily familiar with, because this race we're going to look at was back at the beginning of January, the Sham. Authentic is going to be the number one horse. Horse that runs second, number four, Azul Coast, came back and won the El Camino Real last week. But, boy, this is a nice performance. A little green in the stretch. We see him kind of duck in and play around a little bit, although the chart margin winds up to be just under 8 lengths. As I say, Authentic number two on your list. Talk a little bit about him.
Yeah, he's owned by the same people as Charlatan. And I was actually talking to Sal Kuhlman, one of the owners, that weekend of Charlatan's race. The one he was talking about was Authentic, which I understand. That one's a stakes winner, and that one is a and the other Charlatan was going to make it for his first start. So that's why I said I didn't get the feeling right then and there that they felt before the first race that Charlatan was better than Authentic. But I think, you know, Authentic is really has some nice potential. I think he's only going to get better with Baffert. I think he'll get over that greenness. I think he's already kind of proven at a bigger distance than Charlatan, which is an important part of it. And let me throw out one thing, too, that from talking to Sal and Bob, I said Bob has four. Don't count out number five in 8 rings. I heard from them that they do feel he could make the Derby. It's going to be a question. He's going to need a lot of things go right for him in training, but that was a horse who was the favorite of the Breeders' Cup Juvenile. Things haven't gone well for him since, but certainly he could be in the picture too.
Yeah, very interesting. And again, 3-year-old poll overall, the NTRA poll, the top five on the three-year-old side. Tis the Law, 1,000 Words, Nadal, Authentic, and Dennis's Moment. It's going to be interesting next week to see the return of Dennis's Moment, because I think a lot of people are just drawing the line, as they should, through that Breeders' Cup race and thinking this is potentially a talented three-year-old for Dale Romans.
Yeah, I think it will be a very interesting race. On my poll, I kind of attack the two polls differently. With the older horses, I gave some credence to what a horse has done in the past. That's why I had Maximum Security on top. If on my ballot, Mucho Gusto was the favorite. It wound up number one in the voting. But, you know, I kind of gave credence to what they did the previous year. With the three-year-old poll, I really only put horses who have started, because there's a great mystery as to how these horses turn from two to three. Horses like Max Field and Dennis's Moment, who have run, I didn't include. I'm going to wait to see how they do and then rank them. And certainly Dennis's Moment, you're absolutely right. The horse had no chance in the Breeders' Cup. But when you have that kind of a start in a race like that, you have to be secretariat kind of win. And especially on that track at Santa Anita on that day, there's no way with a big kickback and a slow, tiring track that you were going to be that far back and win the race. So, yes, that race needs to be forgotten, and we'll see. We'll see how he makes the jump from two to three, which is the big question.
Going to be very interesting, as they say, the return next week. And Tis the Law, it's been fun for all those of us up here to root for him with the Saratoga connection and Jack Knowlton and whatnot, so I always like to root for them. But let's move on to the general poll, because I wanted to pull up another race from the other day that we haven't had a chance to watch in here yet. But sitting number five on your list, and I'm assuming this Monday race played into your ballot. As you say, you have Maximum Security on top, McKinsey, Midnight Bijou, Mucho Gusto, and then number five, Warriors Charge. And this is the win we're going to watch from last Monday, the Razorback. Number six is going to be Warriors Charge. You took it all the way on the front end, holds off Bankett late, but with a gutsy performance, gets it done for Brad Cox and 10 Strike Racing. 10 Strike and Mattaquette. We were out at the National Horse Players Championship out in Vegas a couple weeks ago and talked with Marshall Graham from 10 Strike Racing, and he said, "We're coming in the Razorback with Warriors Charge," and you could tell he was looking forward to it, and the horse validated it. And there was a crowd in the winner's circle after the race. So Warriors Charge looking pretty good in the Razorback, and as I say, I'm guessing you were impressed by this to put him at number five.
Yeah, I really was. And you know, from talking with Tom Newman from Mattaquette Stables and Brad Cox, they really think that the world of this horse. And, you know, when you look at his past performances, he really ran a great race to the Preakness. You know, he did the kind of heavy lifting on the front end, wound up not a bad fourth, and then he came down with a case of colic, which knocked him out for the year. So they're just getting him back. I don't think the screws are completely wound tightly on this horse, but I think he really has a great amount of talent. And, you know, let's keep one thing in mind. The Saudi Cup is going to be a really great race. There's no doubt about it. The top four horses in that poll are going to be running in Saudi Arabia next week. But the impact of that and the possibility of some of those horses staying on for the Dubai World Cup is going to create some opportunities here in the United States. And I think Warriors Charge is going to benefit. I mean, he's going to go to the Arkansas Handicap next. And I think after that, the race will be the Met Mile for him. So, and you know, some of those horses, like McKinsey, who ran the Met Mile last year, I'm not sure if you're going to see them in that race. So, you know, I think this horse has the potential to be a major player. I could see Met Mile, and, you know, I could see the Whitney after that. I think this horse is going to be a major player in the division, especially when you have the questions of, let's see how much the trip to the Middle East takes out of those top four horses in the poll.
Yeah, next week is certainly going to be a lot of fun and very interesting in Saudi Arabia. And you would think some of those horses, particularly if they run well, will stick around for Dubai as well. And so then how do you come back from the two race? That's something we haven't faced yet, the two races over in the Mideast. And so it'll be interesting to see how it plays out in the summer. But would you agree with me? So far early in the year, Last year, the handicap division, what's the uninspiring, I'll use as a word. I think this year, it seems like at least early, the handicap division is kind of shaping up to be a little more fun this year.
Well, you know, I'm not sure if you want to say it was because of the Saudi Cup. Certainly the Saudi Cup benefited. Yes, there's an unusually high amount of good horses who came back. And in a sense, that hurt the Pegasus, where, you know, the Pegasus was kind of positioned against the, especially when the purse was reduced to $3 million, it was positioned as a kind of race for these horses who were retiring, which normally you get some pretty good horses. This year, the only one retiring was Omaha Beat,
yeah,
who was scratched out of the race. This has the potential to be an exceptional year for the handicap division. The question is going to be, do they all stay healthy? Do they all stay on form? I mean, I do believe, you know, in my mind, I really think Maximum Security has the potential to be a generational horse. I think he just has an outstanding.
Yeah, I'm looking forward.
And when you get him back, Kinsey back, which Augusto looks like. I was talking to Bob Baffert yesterday. He was just raving about Mucho Gusto. So maybe he has turned the corner from like a grade three winner into a true grade one. Midnight Pursue, we'll see if she keeps running against the boys once she gets home. But certainly when you add a horse like Warrior's Charge to the mix, and let's not forget one of the other horses on my ballot, Sir Winston. You know, he's only come a long layoff, nice race and an allowance at Belmont, at Aqueduct, and certainly it's going to be interesting to see where he fits into the Dubai World Cup. But Mark Cassie is one of those trainers who's not afraid of running his horses, so he's going to be around in a lot of these big races. And, you know, I agree with you. I think this is going to be a year where the best horses, because the best divisions are probably going to be the older horses and the Philly Turf division, which is also loaded.
Yeah, and as I say, it just seems like it's maybe a little more intriguing this year than last. And on your ballot, you know, it's indicative of the end of the year on the three-year-olds. On your general poll, you have newly turned four-year-olds, Maximum Security, Code of Honor, Spun to Run, Sir Winston. Sir Winston was interesting to me because that head-scratcher of a comeback race on the turf down at the fairgrounds where he did nothing. But then the move up to Aqueduct, and he had a little stop and a start up there with a little hoof issue, but certainly overcame that. The race up at Aqueduct that he won, it seemed to indicate he'll be a player in this division as well.
Yeah, I mean, I just talking to Mark Cassie, I mean, his idea with the turf race was just to get him some exercise. I think that was kind of what the whole idea was on that race. I don't think they felt that they had a budding turf star or anything like that. I think they just wanted to get him some exercise, which they did. They ran him back. They were going to run him back in the Jazzle, but he had that issue with the foot, which wasn't major. They put glue-on shoes on him, and everything was fine. But the problem came up at a very wet, muddy track that day. A horse with any kind of hoof question. The muddy track is not designed for him, especially horses valuable as him. So they scratched. They went to an allowance race, which I thought had some pretty tough horses, and certainly the betting indicated people thought, you know, all right, he's not going to win this race. But he did, which I think says a lot about him. And as I say, Mark Cassie is definitely one of these guys. Mark's not a guy to give his horses four races a year. He'll run the horse. If the horse is ready to go, he's going to run them. And I think you're going to see if Winston stays healthy. He's going to be a player in those major races, like I mentioned. I'm not sure if the Met Mile fits in, but certainly the Whitney and other big races, you're going to be seeing him.
Yeah, it's going to be, as I say, I think a little more of a fun year in that handicap division. And going over the top five on the general list on the NTRA poll, Mucho Gusto, Midnight Bijou, Maximum Security, McKinsey, and Zulu Alpha in there. Kefefi, number six, that's kind of interesting as well, the four-year-old filly. Bob, as always, appreciate the conversation. Again, we'll tell people to check out your work at Blood Horse, senior writer for the Blood Horse, and again, also contributing with some articles over at America's Best Racing. And you have some fun articles at America's Best Racing that I like to check on kind of the handicapping side of the game, too, which, you know, you talk about kind of, for lack of a better word, angles to think about and how they play into your handicapping, how you can pick out maybe a horse or two given a particular angle that, that you may want to focus on a particular day or in a little pick kind of a bet.
Yeah, thank you, Seth. Yeah, no, those are a little fun for me to do, kind of find these little bit of red boarding afterwards, look and say, why didn't I bet this horse?
I should note, I didn't talk about it at the top of the show. Are you a player in the pick bets? Because the pick five, the late pick five today at Aqueduct, $79,000 carryover, which I would assume will get juiced up quite significantly a little bit later this afternoon. Are you a pick player?
I only on occasions. I've done what I'm probably going to shoot for a little bit more. I didn't have a great chance yesterday. To really sit down and handicap today's card because there really wasn't a big stakes at Aqueduct. I might look tomorrow. I like what Daira is doing with the mandatory payoff on the pick six with the 20-cent bet and the smaller pools, which I think you got, especially at a track like Aqueduct at this time of year, you've got a pretty good chance with smaller fields, no turf racing, to kind of hit it, and you might do pretty well. So I think more so I'm going to chase that one where I'll have some time tonight after the races to sit down and handicap and see if I can put a ticket together for that because I do think, as I say, I'm not a big fan of these jackpot purses when they're $16 million because you have so many people coming in and they make the races such handicapping challenges. But, you know, with the fields you get these days at Aqueduct, I think that's a fair test for a guy like me who doesn't have a massive bankroll to put into play.
And if folks aren't familiar, Naira changed the rules a few weeks ago that they're now going to pay it out. There'll be a mandatory pay every couple of weeks. Tomorrow will be the first of those on the Empire Six. And again, we were talking earlier on the handicapping show and my colleague Brian Eddo. I said, if it was me, I probably would have done it every month. But Brian made a great point. He said, you know, I might have done that too. But, you know, the 2 weeks means every 2 weeks somebody will get a shot at probably, and I think he's right, $1 million pool. I think that probably every 2 weeks, if it's not hit in the meantime, I think there'll be enough in there that they may put $1 million in the pool.
Yeah, and it's still going to have a pretty good payoff. I know I'm not going to hit the ticket that pays $14 million because I'm not going to go go all in a 14-horse field on my pick six ticket like some of the big whales are going to do. So, I think it's a fair challenge because, you know, I haven't looked at the Sunday card yet, but I would imagine it's not going to be loaded with entries. And I think it does give you a fair chance to maybe put in a $40 or $50 ticket, and maybe you have a chance to win. And what I like about it then is that if I could get through the few, kind of how I look at it sometimes, if I could get through the first few legs, then I could bet a pick three or so to close out the card, including the horses I couldn't include in my ticket.
Oh, sure.
And try to make some money. And that did work well for me on the Cigar Mile Day. With the pick six, where I missed it because I left out Bill Mott's horse in the Demoiselle, but I put together a pick three ticket, including her, and got a pretty good payoff on that, which, I turned a profit. I kicked myself on $6,000 that I gave away by not including her in the pick six ticket. But, again, I only had limited resources, and I made the wrong call on who to include and who to throw out.
I do the same thing a lot of time. I'll back up with, if I'm a pick bet, if I get through a first couple of legs, you throw in some, which presumably are horses that will also offer a little bit of value that you've left off the bigger ticket. So I do the same thing. And I'll ask, did you see the rainbow down at Gulfstream on Monday? You talk about you're not going to jump in and get the, I'm with you. I'm not going to get that $14 million ticket. But somebody Monday at Gulfstream, a $51 ticket, they pulled down the whole $1.2 million pool.
Yeah, I mean, I guess you could do it. You've got to like that. You've got to have that long shot included. And maybe you could do it, but I just feel the odds of for me to do that.
I'm with you. This person was wearing a four-leaf clover outfit or something. I don't know how that worked.
Yeah, I think the person had two horses in that race.
Yes.
with the big payoff.
Yeah.
And, you know, like one was the favorite, and then one was the big long shot who keyed everything. Yeah, as I say, those are tough. I've been down there by being at Gulfstream for the Pegasus. I've been there the next day when they did have the mandatory payoff. And I just steered clear of it. I looked at the races and said, oh, my God. To be confident, I'm going to have to put together a $200 ticket, and then I may not even hit it. And with the one thing with the mandatory payoff to keep in mind, you don't get a consolation payoff.
Yeah.
So, you know, even if I hit five, I'm done. So I'd rather put the $50, $60, $100 into play with exactas or doubles or pick threes that I feel I have a more reasonable chance. But as I say, I think the pick five today, I think it's worth chasing for a modest ticket based on what I know is off the stakes. I think looks like it should be a pretty formful race. And then, as I say, Sunday, if the card works out well, I think it's a good opportunity for the little guy. Now, it hurts that I guess they had the pick six. They had the mandate. They had the jackpot payoff at Aqueduct came in yesterday. So it's not going to be probably a big pool. But again, I mean, I think that helps because, I think, as I say, you're not going to get swallowed up by the whales who are just going to have a huge advantage over you.
Yeah, it'll be interesting to see, given the circumstances, what does get put in tomorrow. Bob, again, appreciate the visit. Always enjoy the conversation, and we will talk again.
All right, Seth, always a pleasure to chat with you.
Bob Ehalt, again, senior writer for the Blood Horse, contributor to America's Best Racing. All right, we'll take a break. When we come back, our friend Kim Weir, Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. They have a couple of events coming up this week in Saratoga that we wanted to alert you to. So we'll have that conversation right after this. Stay tuned.
Welcome to Albany County, an incredible destination to live, work, and play. With easy connections to more than a dozen cities from our vibrant modern airport, it's a short trip downtown to a hive of culture and amusement. From world-class shows at the newly renovated Times Union Center to reliving the past at the New York State Museum. From outdoor recreation to shopping to nightlife, Albany County has something for everyone. We'll see you soon. Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. Visit Rivers Casino and Resort, the Capital Region's only destination for live table game action and the hottest new slots paying out millions. And they're off. Horse betting is now at Rivers Casino and Resort with Capital off-track betting terminals and live tellers located just off the gaming floor at Van Slick's. Get in on all the action at Rivers Casino and Resort.
Welcome back to Racing Across America on this Saturday morning. As promised before the break, joined now by our friend Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Kim, good morning.
Good morning, Seth. Great to be with you today.
Happy to have you on board. I texted you when we were out in Vegas, National Horse Players Championship opening day. It was the night before opening day, in fact. I was talking to Pete Forntale and Scott Coles, last year's champion, and they brought up the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation and brought up your name. I know Forntale and Kinchin with their In the Money podcast are doing some work with the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. And then closing night, the awards dinner, Scott Coles, last year's champion, in his kind of end of reign speech, Gave a little shout out to the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. I thought that was nice.
Oh, we're so gratified and so grateful. And we were there in spirit, both my husband and I. Love being in Vegas and love being there for that tournament. But just to know that the horse players were keeping those horses right in their hearts just, you know, warms ours. And so grateful and loved hearing from you throughout the weekend, Seth. We were there in spirit.
Yeah, we miss you guys. Bobby was a player in the NHC a couple of years back. And so we missed you guys out there. But get a chance to visit this week, and I will be coming to one of the events we'll be talking about. We have a couple coming up that I wanted to have you on. One kind of a nuts and bolts thing, one maybe a little more fun for folks, but let's talk a little bit about on Thursday afternoon up in Saratoga, Lunch and Learn, a discussion of legal and financial strategies for planning for your horse's care. Give us a little overview of what the event will entail on Thursday afternoon.
Well, thank you, Seth. Yes, you know, we have horses in our hearts all the time, and one of the things that we want to do, especially with this event on Thursday, is just to share some information. It's purely an educational forum, because when you're in the role that I am in at the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation, we get phone calls all the time with folks who are concerned about their horses, who are looking for a place to retire their horse. And while this is the core function of the TRF, we are a sanctuary for retired racehorses. There are, as you may not be surprised to hear, some financial expectations when you retire a horse for the rest of its life. That's what I do all day long, is raise money to do that. So the idea with this seminar is to give some tools to folks who have horses on their own farms and are thinking ahead to what do I do, how do I properly plan so that when the time comes that I can't take care of them, there's adequate resources and a game plan and probably some legal documentation to make sure they end up where we want them. And this is, you know, selfishly for me to help me have a better answer when people call, as I want to be able to give out information way ahead of the crisis moment and to say, here's how you can start talking to your own advisors about putting this plan in place. So our event on Thursday really is that kind of a conversation. It's just bringing folks, I will be there to sort of set the stage because I've got dozens, I won't go through all of them, but let's say half a dozen examples of calls I've received, you know, as recently as yesterday, where folks are thinking ahead, but then I'm not the advisor. I can't tell them what to do. So the real meat of the program on Thursday is folks who are estate planning attorneys. We've got two different attorneys coming with horse angle and estate planning angle and financial planning and even insurance, because that's sort of one of the kickers, is that you can actually do this as an insurance policy. So It is a tough topic. It's not exactly, you know, it's not a happy topic, but actually it's much happier if you do it when there's no crisis. So that's what our idea is on Thursday, is educate, inform, and really start some conversations. So we'll look forward to it.
Yeah, and I think it's an important topic. If you own a horse or horses, I think for a lot of people it may be something they don't necessarily think about. And if you do think about it, you may not know where to turn to find the information. So this will be a great starting point for folks.
Yes, well, we sure hope so, because it's all with the right intention. And one thing we're going to do for folks, because it is 1 to 2 on Thursday up here in Saratoga, but we're also going to do a podcast version, like a 30-minute recap after the event, once we've had the good questions of our guests, and that will be available on our website. And none of this is meant to be, you know, really is information sharing. So that'll be free and available on our website probably within a couple weeks of the event on Thursday. So we'll keep you posted on that, Seth. You can mention it whenever that's live.
Yeah, absolutely. Alert me and I will. Website is trfinc.org, trfinc.org. And if folks go there, there's an events link and people can learn more information about the events we're talking about there as well. The Lunch and Learn is at the Mill, 1 to 2 on Thursday, 1 to 2 p.m. That's 125 High Rock Avenue in Saratoga. A little bit later on Thursday, and I've been to these events already, the Friends of the TRF Herd Happy Hour and Impact Night. That's going to happen at Walton Whitman Brewing on 20 Lake Avenue. That'll go from 5 to 7. I'm coming. I'm there. It's always
good.
A lot of fun. But you talk about it a lot and let people know. This
sure
brings some of your people together, and it brings some of your volunteers together. But maybe more importantly, if folks want to volunteer, and I think this is important too, which I've heard at these events in the past, You have all kinds of volunteers. So if you're somebody who's into horses, you'll find some way for them to get close to the horses. And if maybe you're not so much into horses, but you like to help out, hey, maybe a little office work as a volunteer. So talk a little bit about the event on Thursday.
Sure. Well, first of all, you know, you and I, Seth, we do love a party, and that's really what this is. It's a simple happy hour. It's fun. It's gathering friends together who have something in common. The one thing everyone comes with in common is the horses, in whatever capacity, from horse playing to curry combing to whatever it may be. So from 5 to 7, we will be at Whitman Brewing. This is like our favorite new place in town. I have to do a big shout out for the great folks at Walt and Whitman Brewing Company. They've redeveloped the Saratogian building, the old beautiful Saratogian building.
Oh, okay. And I was wondering, 20 Lake, yeah, that makes sense. The old Saratogian.
Yeah.
Yeah, nice.
Right there on the corner. And boy, they have just done a beautiful job. So if you've not come, this is like a great time to just come check it out. There's a coffee shop upstairs, which has become my new remote office. It's about 10 feet from my actual office. And then downstairs is the brewery with a real fireplace. We'll have that going on Thursday night, and great beer and great food. So 5 to 7, really, it's, you know, not that anyone needs instructions on how to have a happy hour. Please come, meet, greet, eat, drink, do all those things. That's really fabulous thing besides the connectivity and the creation of community, which is the entire purpose of us doing this, is letting people meet each other, hearing what their opportunities are to get involved. But Walt and Whitman, because they're great corporate citizens or neighborhood citizens, they are making this an impact night for us, which means that they're going to donate 10% of all the proceeds of our said eating and drinking to the horses. So you can come have fun and know that the horses will get a little perk out of the festivities. And meanwhile, we'll have all of our information there. Folks can sign up. They can talk to me, my volunteer coordinator, Mary, and just to other volunteers and hear about the variety of things we have going on. We welcome one and all, and it's a fun time. The fact that you're coming makes it especially awesome, Seth. We're thrilled you're coming, and that'll be a draw unto itself.
So folks can, yes, come and say hello to me as well. I don't know how attractive that is, but I will be there.
I will say
one of the summertime TRF events was one of my best wins of the entire season when I won and I was laughing with Pete Fornital out in Vegas. Pete was drawing. There was a 50-50 raffle at the TRF event this summer, and I think I got it on the fourth draw. The first three names, the person wasn't there. I wound up winning on about the fourth draw, and so I don't know what that says about my luck exactly, but I ended up a winner, and as I say, it was one of the better winners of the summertime. But I highly recommend the TRF events, and Thursday will be no exception. And as you say, and now I find that interesting, renovated Saratogian building, it'll be my first time in, so I'm looking forward to the visit.
Yeah, well, it is. It's a beautiful space, and we're so grateful for them for hosting us. And just to tie this to the one other little thing I wanted to sneak in with our schedule, it's also an event this week, but there's a thing up here called the Saratoga Chamber has launched something called the Leap of Kindness Day, which is related to Leap Day, which is on Saturday the 29th. And all the local businesses and nonprofits are kind of jumping out of their regular routine and figuring out how they can do helpful, kind things for one another. So what the TRF team is going to do is to do a canned drive for the shelters of Saratoga and a hoodie drive for the backstretch workers who are supported by the New York Racetrack Chaplaincy. And I mention this tied to the happy hour because we will be collecting those things that same night for anyone who'd like to bring them. It's not required. It's not like there's no entrance or ticket or anything for the happy hour. It's just happy hour. But if you feel like bringing a couple cans of canned food, or you happen to stop by Ocean State Job Lots and pick up a hoodie, those things are going to go directly to the charities that can put them to use. And that's the other piece of our fun party on Thursday night, is some little helping the horses, but also helping our neighbors in the community.
Excellent. Canned goods, hoodies, bring them along if you'd like to for donation. And again, if you go to the TRF website, trfinc.org, and click on the events link, you can learn a little bit more about these events. Lunch and Learn is Thursday afternoon, 1 to 2 at the Mill, 125 High Rack Avenue, and Friends of the TRF Herd, the happy hour happens Thursday evening, 5 to 7, Walt and Whitman Brewing, 20 Lake Avenue in Saratoga. And as I say, I will be there, looking forward to it. Kim, as always, appreciate the visit, and I'll see you Thursday.
Sounds awesome, Seth. Have a great Saturday.
All right, you too. Kim Weir from the Thoroughbred Retirement Foundation. Again, a couple of nice events coming up this week. We'll take a quick break. Still have a couple of minutes. I'll come back because I also wanted to show a replay of the stakes race, the three-year-old stake this past Monday at Oaklawn. Haven't had a chance to review that, but Silver Prospector looked pretty good. So we'll come back. We'll take a look at that and wrap things up. But stay tuned. We will continue on this edition of Racing Across America right after this.
You're watching OTB TV, a service.
Wagering on horse racing just got a lot easier at Capital OTB with our newly designed state-of-the-art mobile wagering site. Everything you need is right here on one easy-to-navigate mobile platform. Set your favorite tracks, pick your horses, place your bets, all with a simple tap of the screen. Plus, you'll have access to Capital OTB TV for all our network programming. So log on to CapitalOTBBet.com and see just how easy wagering on horse racing can be. No matter where in the world you are, the excitement of wagering on horse racing is just a click away. You'll get live streaming, past performances, race replays, our virtual tote board, analysis and selections from professional handicappers, a simple, safe, and secure wagering platform, and best of all, you get track prices. CapitalOTBBet.com. Bet any place, anytime at CapitalOTBBet.com. And be sure to download our new mobile app from the iTunes Store or Google Play.
Birdstone is an outside front. They're coming down to the finish. Can Smarty Jones hold on? Here comes Birdstone. Birdstone surges past. Birdstone wins the Belmont Stakes.
In front, but here comes High Chaparral. High Chaparral, the defending champ, to take it to Papa. These two arch rivals head to head with Joe Hart bearing down on them. It's going to be a three-horse photo finish in the turn. Here's the wire. Photo finish.
Welcome back to Racing Across America. As promised before the break, the Holiday Monday card down at Oaklawn was very good. I wanted to go back, and we looked at Warrior's Charge earlier. Congratulations to 10 Strike and Marcel Graham and Mattaquette for the nice win in the Razorback. But I wanted to show the Southwest. Again, we haven't had a chance to review that. But it was a nice little field in there, and it was won by Silver Prospector, one of four Asmussen runners, three Asmussen runners in here. Silver Prospector is going to be the number two horse here. Nice win by a chart margin of a length as 9-2 choice, $11.40. Wells Bayou, excuse me, the number one runs second. Answer In, who was the favorite at 8-5, the number nine runs third. Shoplifted fourth. Gold Street, one of the other Asmussen runners, a little bit of a disappointment running ninth, but Asmussen running first and fourth in here. Brad Cox running second and third. Excuse me. But again, a nice run from Silver Prospector. Maybe more importantly, it continues to validate that Kentucky Jockey Club going back to November 30th. Silver Prospector was the winner that day. Tis the Law ran third. Of course, Tis the Law has made the nice comeback already this year. And running fourth in that Kentucky Jockey Club was Enforceable, who's looked good as a three-year-old this year as well. So that Kentucky Jockey Club turned out to be a nice productive race on the two-year-old side that is worth watching. And obviously, Kentucky Jockey Club at Churchill means those horses also with good performances over the Churchill Strip already. So again, Silver Prospector with his win. After a disappointing run, maybe playing against the track in the Smarty Jones, bounces back to get it done. And again, early in the meet, that's Smarty Jones over the muddy track at Oaklawn. And we talked with Nancy Holthus a couple of weeks ago down at Oaklawn, and she said she had talked to Asmussen after the Smarty Jones, and he was a little bit disappointed with the ride that Silver Prospector got. Silver Prospector a little more in the hunt throughout the race on Monday than he was going back to the Smarty Jones back in January, but gets it done in that Southwest on the nice Derby trail they have down there, a four-race series that leads into the Arkansas Derby four races, including the Arkansas Derby, that then lead out into the Kentucky Derby. But they have a nice four-race schedule for the three-year-olds, and we'll see where these horses wind up going from here, whether they stick in Arkansas or some of them potentially could wind up down at the fairgrounds or skip the next prep and wind up in the Arkansas Derby. But we'll see. Silver Prospector certainly becomes a player on the trail at this point off of that win this weekend. And again, coming out of the Kentucky Jockey Club last November, which has been productive. All right, we'll take the break. We will wind things up for this edition of Racing Across America. Let me pull up my promos here, because we do have a couple to announce, including Fan Appreciation Day at the Ogdensburg Bowl branch, the Ogdensburg Bowl Easy Bet. That'll run from 1 until 5 today. If you're up in that area, swing on by. First 25 folks get a bet voucher giveaway item and a program. Give us our chance to say thank you to you. Ogdensburg Bowl today between 1 and 5. Tomorrow at the Clubhouse Racebook, Prize Wheel Day. Also a $100 win a bet, but everybody who comes in on Sunday gets a entry slip. You fill that out, you put it in the hat, and we will have random selections all afternoon long for folks to spin the prize wheel. There are vouchers and swag and whatnot. Should be a lot of fun. That's tomorrow, Sunday, Clubhouse Racebook, prize wheel and $100 win a bet contest. So stop on by. We'd love to see you here. I want to thank our friends at Gulfstream for their sponsorship. Gulfstream Park, champions start here. All right, again, another reminder, later this afternoon, the late pick five at Aqueduct, $79,000 carryover. I would imagine they would put a good chunk of change into that this afternoon. So if you're looking to play, take an extra look at Aqueduct in that late pick five, which will have, it'll be juiced up significantly with the carryover. Tomorrow, there's the mandatory in the Empire Six. So keep that in mind as well. All right, we will wrap things up. I'll be back in with Aqueduct switching their starting time a little bit later. I've been jumping on maybe probably close to 12:30 or so the past couple of days. So that'll be the game plan again today. So I'll be back about an hour and a half or so with OTB Live for a Saturday afternoon. We'll be going through some of the tracks and some of the action, and hopefully offering some advice that allows you to cash tickets. That's what it's all about. So I'm going to wrap things up for this edition of Racing Across America. But again, we'll be back in about an hour and a half. We'll see you then.
You're watching OTB TV, a service of Capital Off-Track Betting.